Well, it did take me a long time to get here. December the 10th, was it? I was thought something like that a year ago, but I got here. Pardon? Yeah. 2 years ago. Well, that snowstorm.
15 months.
Right. And every time I drive into Colchester, down that road where we got stuck in the snow, I think, Lord, thank you for Parsons Heath. Bless Parsons Heath, Lord. And today there was trees blown down across the road. We come in from Walton-under-Naze. Been blown in, literally. And it's great to be here with you. I was thinking, coming to Parsons Heath, they've been waiting upon the Lord. And I thought I should have come in on eagle's wings. I would have got here a lot easier, a lot quicker. No snowdrifts, no trees upon the road. And I was thinking, Lord, what do you want me to speak about, share about, into the hearts of the brothers and sisters at Parsons Heath? And Lord said, well, share with them what's on your heart. And what's on my heart is to rise on wings like eagles, you know, really is. And I'm so glad to be here. Angie, Holy Spirit led you in your prayers. It was so sensitive, it's so beautiful, because my wife and I, at the end of this month, we're going out to the foothills of the Himalayas, and we're helping start a church amongst the untouchables in India, North India, with a brother and sister that we've been partnering with for quite a while. They've been in prison, been imprisoned by the Hindus for preaching the gospel and everything. They're out, and they want to start a new church amongst the untouchables. So we're going there to work with them. And so I was saying, oh, Lord, I receive this prayer. Bless those who are the outcasts of society. The Bible tells us that there was a man called Agur who was amazed by eagles. He was really taken in by them, in the same way that I am, because they are amazing, amazing birds. He says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18, there are four things that I don't understand. They are too mysterious for me, he said. The first is an eagle flying in the sky. How does it get so high? It can fly above jumbo jets, all right? It can fly above 35,000 feet. Second thing he says I don't understand is how a snake can move on a rock. Don't get that. How a ship finds its way over the sea. And then a man and a woman falling in love. And I mean, that is mysterious, isn't it? If someone has fallen in love with you, that's strange, isn't it? How they could love you, isn't it? It's weird, you know. It really is. But the first of these was the way of an eagle in the sky. Because the way an eagle gets up high is unique. It is incredible. Now, stay there. If you come to my house, you'll see I got eagles everywhere. I'm going to put it on there. Yeah. Where was that? Because he's very handsome, isn't he? Yeah. It's worth seeing. Thank you. Because an eagle doesn't flap his wings. An eagle waits on a cliff edge. And he waits, 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 until he senses an upcurrent coming. And when he senses this upcurrent coming, he will then put out his wings and launch out. And that upcurrent will just start to take him higher and higher, effortlessly higher and higher. All he has to do with his wings is just maneuver them a little bit like an aeroplane does to get the direction. I see a rabbit over there. Oh, you know, he can see up to 2 miles away. And he's higher. And then down. And it's mysterious. Unlike any other bird. A chicken wants to fly, flap, flap, flap. And it might jump up, might get up 2 or 3 feet, flap, flap, flap. And you know, I want to speak today about being an eagle believer, not a chicken believer. Because I see too many flapping, I was going to say flipping, but flapping chicken believers around. When God wants us to learn how to wait upon the Lord, to renew our strength, and to mount up on wings like eagles. But the key thing is those who wait upon the Lord. We don't rise up without the wait. And that wait of sensing when it's right to launch off. David saw an eagle as a symbol of strength. He says in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he lists all the benefits of having the Lord in your life. And I tell you, if you haven't got the Lord in your life, get him in your life, because it's transforming. It's totally transforming. You live a different kind of a life, like the difference between darkness and light. It's like starting again. It's an incredible thing. But he goes on to say, this Lord satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. When I sense that God was saying to us, we've got to go out to India again, got to go and help plant a new church amongst the untouchables, I had Christians coming up to me and saying, do you know, do you think that's, you're retired now. You know, you're retired. Do you think that's a good thing to do? Do you think that's a good thing to go right into the heart of where there's persecution, of where the Hindu government is trying to eradicate Christianity and Islam, and why there's all kind? Come on, come on. He says, the Lord renews your youth like an eagle. And I tell you, if you're an old codger, if someone has ever said to you, oh, you are past it, mate, or some rubbish, I've got the Lord. And the Lord is always renewing us. He's always wanting us to rise up. He always has more for us. Unless you're a chicken. Chickens live about 41 days and they end up in KFC or somewhere like that. Now, I've never had an eagle burger. Have you ever had an eagle burger? You don't get them, you know? And honestly, we are meant to be above. Above. And people are going, oh dear, what's going to happen next week on Tuesday in Parliament? What's going to happen next week on Thursday in Parliament? And oh dear, oh dear. Come on, brothers and sisters. We are above that because God is lifting us up. Because we know who is above and who holds the world in his hands. The challenge of being an eagle believer, of being an eagle Christian, is learning to wait on the Lord until we catch the wind of the Spirit. Don't move until you catch the wind of the Spirit. We wait, we seek to find out where God is going, what he wants to do, what is that rabbit over there he's got for us, and we don't go after that rabbit, because eagles love fresh meat. That's what they eat. No messing with eagles. No pecking insects and stuff like that. Fresh meat. All right? That's why you came here today, wasn't it? You came to church for some fresh meat. You know, that's what we eat. We don't eat droppings and stuff like that. You know, the eagle believer waits and then waits. And then when he sees Now God wants me to go for that. Catches the uplift of the Spirit and he goes. Now this is what Jesus models to us, how to do it. Because Jesus never acted independently on his own. He always waited until he saw what God his Father was doing and then he moved. That's what we have to do. In Mark chapter 1 that Hazel read to us, we see an example of an eagle believer at work. And this could be you and it could be me. You know, he's going and he's teaching people, sharing with people. He's setting people free from stuff and he's healing people. Wherever he goes, he's bringing the presence of God and people's lives get changed. Whatever the deep need in people's lives is, Jesus is able to minister to them and heal them. But the problem is, we Christians think, oh, but I'm not like Jesus. I'm just a little old ordinary Christian. Now, there's no such thing as an ordinary Christian. You can't be an ordinary Christian. Because if you've got God inside you, if you've asked Jesus into your life, you are a little Jesus. You've got throbbing inside you, Jesus. So none of that rubbish of I'm just an ordinary believer. I've got Jesus. So have you. So in you. And if you've never asked him to come into your life, do it today. Because it's transforming. Life comes in when Jesus is in. But you say, but I couldn't do the stuff like Jesus did. Yes, you can. Because the secret of Jesus was he prayed. He prayed. He would get up early in the morning and get his instructions from heaven and get his anointing, a touch from God, to be able to go and start to minister to people. When was the last time you went in with God, apart from Wednesday? You know, some of you went in on Wednesday. But you came into his presence to be touched by him, to be refueled by him. You know, Jesus wasn't called Jesus Superman. Jesus wasn't called Jesus Miracle Man. His title was Jesus Christ or Jesus Christos. That was his name. And that was so important to him. Because, you see, Christos means anointed one. To remember that he was anointed. Now, lots of people in his day and age were called Christ, were called Christos, were called anointed ones. The high priest was the anointed one. A king was an anointed one. Anointed means somebody who has had some oil, they've been anointed for something. Christos, Jesus Christos, I am Jesus the Anointed One. I've been painted by God for ministry. Because if you were to ask a decorator to come to your house in the day of Jesus, he'd come to your house and he would say, what do you want anointed? Oh, I want the eaves anointed, please, up there. In other words, what do you want painted? What do you want painted? And Jesus, before he was 30, he wasn't painted. But when he was 30, he went to be baptized, and God painted him, as he was baptized, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and from that moment on, he was Jesus Christos. Jesus, the painted one, painted with God's Holy Spirit. And God wants to paint me with his Spirit. So we go around as anointed ones. Now, I find that so encouraging. You know, Jesus was not doing it because he was Superman, but because he had been anointed. And it's so good to do that, to keep coming and asking God, I do this, I ask for this touch of heaven's paint. Because I tell you, sometimes my paint fades. Sometimes my paint flakes. No? I need to keep coming back day after day. Lord, I need a fresh painting. I need a fresh anointing. And some of you have been Christians nearly as long as me. Because I'm quite ancient. All right? Some of you have been Christians, what, 20 years, 30 years? Anyone longer than that?
Yeah.
How long? 40-something. Yeah? All right. 48?
50.
Right.
60.
60. Well, you know, what happens to paint is it gets weathered. If you've been following the Lord all that time, and you know, bang, you come up against stuff. You come up against snowdrifts. You come up against gales. You come up against all sorts of stuff. You've had kickbacks. You've had hurts. You've had pains. We have to be repainted. Repainted. And He would love to do that this morning, to repaint us. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, one day when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees, teachers of the law, were sitting there who had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was present for Him to heal the sick. And the scripture is very, very clear. It was not Jesus Himself. It was the power from above, the power of God. When He went to multiply the fishes and the loaves to feed the 5,000, what did He do? When He took the bread and the fishes, He looked up to heaven. Father, got a bit of a problem here. Father. As He started to break the bread, break the fishes, Father did the miracle. When He stood before the tomb of Lazarus, who'd been dead for 3, what does He do? Father, people are telling me He stinketh. People are telling me it's impossible, shouldn't do it. Father, and He looks up to heaven. Father. That's the model for us to follow, moment by moment by moment. Father, looking up. Father, I need a fresh touch of Your anointing if I'm going to be able to do what You want me to do. Jesus wasn't a healer. It was His Father working through Him. Mark chapter 1 verse 10 tells us it all started when He was anointed by the Holy Spirit at the age of 30 when He was baptized. Now His disciples were hungry to be like Him. And I hope that in just these few moments I've had with you here, I've perhaps created, I hope, as a little bit of stirring inside you to want to be like Him. Have I? I hope so. Because this is what Colchester needs. Come on, Parsons Heath. Let's take this town. Boadicea rides again. But no, Boudica with her name. So she rides again because she came down this way. Because the Romans had got in that citadel down there, they were worshipping, was it Claudius, Caesar Claudius? You know, a pagan god there. Get him out! Come, you know, fire in our bellies, you know? Let's take this place. Goodness me, Boudicca. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. The disciples were hungry to be like Jesus. They said, please tell us your secret. And in Matthew chapter 6, He told them His secret. He told them what He used to do when He used to go and wait upon the Lord, when He was refueling, when He was praying. He said, get uptight with God. Get personal. Go into your, the actual word means pantry. Go into your little closet. Get alone with God. And I like that. Do you know, when I was a boy, we used to have a pantry. Do you know what a pantry is? We don't have pantries these days, do we? But it was that little cold room. You went through the door, and it's where your mum kept the butter and the ham and the stuff. It was, you know, And I was thinking, he went into where there's good things. When you go to pray, do you really have that expectation? I'm going now where there's a place of good things. I'm going in with my Lord. There's good things there. And he says, when you pray, do it privately. You start saying, Father, Father in heaven. Then he says, just bless his name. Bless his name. And he has many, many different names. And the Lord will bring you to mind his name. Start to bless him. And then he says, but then when you're in his presence, you then start to say to him, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. Not mine, but yours. Lord, what's your direction? What do you want? Now, I like to think of prayer. This is just a little pattern that I use, that first thing I do, I think of my thumb. My thumb is the thing that touches all the other fingers, which is Father's presence. And so I hold the cup with my thumb. You know, the other fingers, that they are important, but the thumb. And then his presence, and then his priority. And I start to pray, Lord, what are your priorities for me today? What's your priority for my church? Lord, your kingdom come. And then, Lord, the provision. Lord, provide what I need today so I can do what you've told me is my priority. And then the fourth finger. My fingers, my life. Fourth finger. They say the fourth finger, the ring finger, goes to the heart. Lord, who do I need to pardon from my heart? Forgive my sins, you know? Start to get into, I want to be clean, Lord. Lord, I've got really fed up with so-and-so. Do you know, I reckon Jesus did a lot of forgiving. A lot of forgiving. Because his disciples drove him nuts. They drove him bananas. You know, they didn't get it. When they did get it, they messed it up. And they, when they're supposed to love each other, they argued. But you know, you never find him knocking them. Because he was pardoning them in his time with the Lord. And then, little finger, Lord, I'm weak. Keep me from temptation. I need your power. And Jesus was praying like that in that place. Lord, I honor your presence. I want your priorities. I need your provision. Lord, I pardon those who messed me up. And Lord, I need your power. So you come out of your prayer time having sought God for his power. Now, Jesus teaches his disciples that. And they wrote it down for us. It's great. A pattern for his disciples. But they didn't practice it. Because 2 years later, they come back to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray like John's teaching his disciples. Ooh, I told you. He doesn't say that. He then gives them a quick rundown on the 5 points again. See, when you pray, say, Our Father, Father, I bless you. When you pray, say, Your kingdom. When you pray, say, Lord, please give me my daily needs, provide. Then he says, and don't forget to pardon those who sinned against you. And the power. And you know, it works. It really does work when you are waiting upon the Lord. And if you want to rise up on the wings like an eagle, if you follow the Lord's plan, it's incredible. A little while ago, I was praying and started, Father, I bless your name, honor your name. And I felt God say to me, yeah, speak to me as Jehovah Jireh today. And I was just blessing him, Lord, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And so I was thanking you, Lord, you've provided for me a most beautiful wife, provided for me a most beautiful home, you've provided, and I was just listing the ways he's provided. And I was thanking him, forgetting not all his benefits unto me. And then I was praying, Lord, What do you want? Lord, your kingdom come on earth. And he laid on my heart, relayed on my heart, I want you to go to India. I want you to go and work with Mercedes and Sarita. They've just come out 8 months in prison. They've been knocked down because they live for me. Go and work with them. Go alongside them. And go and plant a new church amongst the untouchables. I said, whoa, I better move on. And so I moved on in my prayer to, Lord, please provide for me my daily needs. And I started to think, Lord, if I am going to follow you, what you're saying to me is I've been waiting upon you, Lord, I'm going to need some money. And the Lord said to me, well, remember who you're talking to. Yeah, all right, Jehovah Jireh. And he said to me, when was I first called Jehovah Jireh? And I remembered that it was when Abraham had been waiting for a son, was going to offer him as a sacrifice. And the Lord said, it was then that I revealed myself. Because if somebody is prepared to make a sacrifice, because they've got my vision, and Abraham's vision was to be a blessing to all the nations, if someone's prepared to make a sacrifice, because they've got my vision, then they will get the provision. The provision always follows the vision, and the vision always follows the sacrifice. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, this is a bit deep for me. This is a bit deep for me. But from that moment on, I was able to share with my wife and to share with folks in the church, going to India, end of March. This is what we're going to do. Well, have you got any money? No, but I've got Jehovah Jireh. I've got the vision, and I believe he will be the one for the provision. The disciples practiced this. Now, I just want to encourage you as a church that if you wait upon the Lord, as you have been doing, as you've waited, the moment will come when he will say, now is the time of the current is coming to move you. And you must then, that's the gulp moment. That's the moment when the eagle has to choose to step out over the edge, believing that the current will come and lift him to heights. And that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for you. See, the eagle doesn't keep waiting and waiting and waiting. It waits for a reason. And you've been seeking God, waiting on God for a reason, for his vision. And when you get the vision, I just encourage you, the provision will then follow. But it has to come from that place, first of all, of waiting. Some of you will respond to what I'm saying today, and you'll say, yes, I want to rise up on wings like an eagle. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up, rise up on wings like eagles. But others don't like heights. It's all right for Pastor Steve, and all right for others, they like heights. He goes up ladders to the side of the house. I can't do that. But the alternative is a chicken. And the reason our country is in the mess it's in now is because we've got churches full of chicken believers. There's over 1 million Christians in our country. Most of them are chickens. I pray that Parsons Heath would be a nest full of baby eagles. And perhaps, I know, 2 years' time, I come back and I don't know where you'll be. I don't know what you'll be like. But I come back and I'll be surrounded by a whole load of eagles. Look at this. Because we follow a Savior who rose again. He rose. Rising is, should be in us. Amen?
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 Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, I better stop now. All right, just one minute. Do you know what I was thinking when I was coming here today? We were driving into this storm that was shooting over. It should be in Holland in about an hour's time. It was coming, going very, very fast wind, trees being blown down. Do you know what most birds do when they see a storm coming? They dive for shelter. They go under the bushes. The eagle is the only bird, when he sees a storm coming, flies towards it because he knows there's going to be some strong up currents and he's going to go higher than he's ever been before. An eagle loves storms. Mm-mm. So if there's a storm coming in Colchester, go for it. All right. Lord, I thank you for your word that you say that when we wait upon you, when we wait upon you, then you cause us to mount up on wings. That moment will come when you yourself lift us up. Oh, we want to become like Jesus, ones who are lifted up in this community, lifted up like him, doing his works in this place because we have his anointing upon us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.